powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Joining us now on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline is Danny O'Neill. He's the host of Danny and Gallant weekdays, 7 to 10 a.m. Danny, how are you? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you too, Stacy. Thank you very much for having me on.
Now, I've been informed that we are not talking about the Houston Texans. We're done with that. You guys had the breaking news this morning, if not during, then right before your show. So you had to dive all into that. So we're done. Instead, the only other thing I have to talk about is the man that tried to smuggle in 194 pounds of bologna. That's the only other thing I have on my plate.
Wait,
I don't know about you,
what?
Jake, but
so
yeah.
That's a lot of bologna on the plate. 194 pounds of bologna?
194 pounds of bologna.
Jake just stopped at the Mexican border.
Yeah, trying to smuggle
it in. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I guess that's one. Is that some sort of contraband that you have? At first, I thought this was a story about Jamarcus Webb, but apparently it has nothing to do with the NFL.
It's probably something to do with pork products, not wanting to blah, 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 blah. The point is, it's a story about 200 pounds of bologna. Jake has something better, though.
Danny, as you've been able to go through the week, there have been so many emotions up and down, kind of going through this whole Russell Wilson conversation. I guess, where are you at on Friday, right? Like, there has been kind of this process of being angry, upset, confused, what's going on, all these different things. Where do you currently stand here as we've gone through the week and talked about this from every which way possible?
I'm disappointed, and this isn't the patronizing, I'm disappointed that Russell... I'm disappointed because I do think that this is a relationship where both sides benefit from staying together. I don't believe that if Russell Wilson were to go to a different team that he is going to win more or end up getting to a Super Bowl quicker. I don't think that if he left, Seattle would be better off. Like, I think the idea that, hey, fine, have him take his cap charge, a divorce would be, both sides would end up unhappy. And I guess the disappointment comes is I do think that today's and this week's developments point toward the possibility that that'll happen. I thought when Russell signed the last extension, I thought, you know what? I think he spends the totality of his prime in Seattle. It might end up, who knows what happens at the end of careers like we're seeing with Tom Brady. But and now I don't feel as strongly that way. I don't think there's a divorce is inevitable. I certainly don't think it will happen this year. I don't believe Russell Wilson wants to get traded right now. But I do think if this is in the same spot a year from now, that will actually be a conversation. And that could be something he flat out asks for. I think that this week has been a brushback pitch in terms of Russell saying, here are the things that I feel unfulfilled by our current state of affairs. I think that this hasn't gotten better, and I would like specifically to see this, the pass protection for the Seattle Seahawks improve.
How much of the blowback, obviously not all of it, there are a lot of nuanced takes, including many, many from fans, so I don't want to discredit anyone's reaction to it or tell them how to feel. But how much of the blowback that's really angry is potentially because in Seattle we just have experienced a lot of people feeling like they're just kind of, for lack of a better way to say this, too big for Seattle?
I don't get the sense that people feel that Russell wants a bigger market. And that's one of the great things in the NFL is that market size actually doesn't matter as much as it does in other sports or has in other sports. I think Aaron Rodgers is as big a star as this league has had over the past 10, 15 years. And he plays in the smallest market. So I don't get the sense that there's a feeling that Russell wants a bigger stage. I think the anger comes from we're talking about fault and blame. And there's a little bit of Russ saying, hey, part of the fault of why we haven't gotten back to the NFC Championship game, let alone the Super Bowl, is the pass protection. And that's not a reflection of guys of that's not something that has been adequately addressed over the past six seasons. And there's some merit to that. Like that's not invented. Like there are some concerns. They've spent a lot of draft picks on it. They have not spent a lot of money in free agent, either signing free agents or retaining veterans. So I think that the anger, if there is anger, it's at the fact that they that people feel that Russell is pointing the finger. And anytime that happens, you're going to have a certain number of people of like the glass houses. You don't throw the ball quick enough. Some of these sacks are on you. It's like, hey, you're part of the problem as well. So I actually think that's the what irritates people the most. It's not an A-Rod thing. Because A-Rod was, he was disingenuous, right? He said it wasn't about the money, but they didn't left for all the money. I think that people...
I'm still not over it.
I think the people that are... I only got over it within the past year. Like, honestly,
it took J-Lo for me to get over it.
Completely.
I'm 100%. Serious. I'm not kidding.
Like,
this is true.
Once he became wife guy with J-Lo,
then I was
like,
A, I was fine with it.
Age-appropriate partner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, age-appropriate partner. He didn't... This isn't someone who is 10, 15 years younger than him. She's actually, I think, a bigger star than him. And he's like the supportive husband. I kind of like A-Rod now.
She helped make his Hall of Fame case.
Danny, were you there for that game when he came back first one and you got the Monopoly money thrown out there? I was too. And that was one of the best moments ever.
Danny, were you throwing money?
I didn't throw money.
What did you throw, Danny?
I didn't throw anything. I did know someone, one of the guys that I was with, who had a sign that was taken away, and it said, hit it through the orifice at shortstop.
My gosh.
Because his nickname is A-Rod, so they used a different noun after the letter A, which I thought was very funny. But they said that you're not allowed to have that sign, which I understand. I understand it's a family friendly sort of environment. Like, I need to keep this show, but it was. I was kind of proud of Seattle because we're like the quiet, passive aggressive.
Correct.
We are.
That was just the full on like.
We let you know we hate you quietly and politely, but we let you know.
This was full fledged New York. No money's flying from the stands. The dude's got the fishing pole. It was fantastic.
Love it.
Wow. Danny, as you painted it in your own words, a brushback pitch from Russell Wilson. This wasn't kind of you got to turn the shoulder type of deal. This was a brushback pitch of I'm throwing it at your head and you better duck, right? Like, this was a different level type of brushback pitch, which now usually in that situation you have the batter that is on his way to the pitcher ready to fight him. How do you feel like Pete Carroll and John Schneider took this, and where do they go from here? Because that, to me, is the biggest question of it all. How do those two handle this situation will be so key.
I think there is some anger. And I've not experienced or seen Pete Carroll get mad at players. He usually takes the approach that, hey, young guys are figuring it out. They're trying to figure out how to best navigate their own careers, their own how do you earn the most you can, do the things that you want, and that guys are going to make mistakes along the way. Like, Pete tends to give guys a wide amount of latitude, and he tries to bring people back into the tent rather than saying, I'm teeth gnashingly mad about this. But I do believe, speaking in general terms, that this was not well received. Like, the organization feels, okay, you've gone outside and aired the laundry. It's clear you're really mad. It's clear that you're asking for things specifically from us and trying to cast us as the bad guys if we don't give it to you. And I think there is, like, in some ways, okay, it's all aired out now. It's all absolutely out there flapping in the breeze. The question of how it goes forward, like I said, I don't get the sense Russell wants a trade. I don't get the sense that he wants a trade right now, but he can envision a future in which he gets there, and he wants to do everything he can to make sure all of his objections are noted and everybody knows that he's sort of on record as, I would like these things specifically addressed because they're the problems.
Do you think they were surprised that he did this?
I think they're surprised at how public it was. Look, the quotes from the Walter Payton Man of the Year press conference, which... there's no audio of it, but the one where he said, I'm frustrated with getting hit so much. I think people around the franchise are like, oh, well, that's more blunt than quarterbacks usually are when it comes to what they would like. And usually that is seen as you're casting aspersions on your teammates. So I don't think they expected it like that. I think they've generally known how Russ has felt, but probably some of the reasons that Russ felt compelled to take it to the next level is he doesn't feel like they've adequately, when he's been polite about it or understated, they've just let it stew in the background.
Mm. And that's the part where I get to where it's the why. Why did it get to this point? Because this guy has been so careful with how he's gone about it for 10 years, Danny, right? Like, this is so out of the norm, right? And I understand both sides of the coin. I understand both perspectives on this particular situation. I don't feel like this franchise and anybody that's out there saying trade Russell, we're better off. And you said that you think if both sides will end up regretting it if that's what ends up happening. You think Pete Carroll wants to be in this situation where he wants to end his career? Because he's not, I don't think he's signing another extension and coaching till 80. But do you think he wants to end his career having to deal with this process of starting from scratch and finding a new quarterback and going through that whole song and dance?
Absolutely not. I also don't think that he's a person who's afraid of that. There's a little bit of chicken going on here in that I don't think that Pete has ever approached it in, oh my gosh, we have to make this person happy.
Yeah.
He generally tends to be, we've got something awesome going on here. We're going to do everything we can to allow you to achieve your dreams, and we hope you're on board. And we'll give you as many chances to stay on board as possible. And I think Russell and Russell's side of this looks at it and says, hey, we've given certainly as much as we've gotten in this relationship. And as much as people will talk about and my statement that I don't think he'll win more elsewhere, well, if he doesn't come here, does Seattle end up finding a quarterback? They were 7-9 in the two seasons before he got here, and the uptick happened when he arrived. And maybe his departure would provide that uptick for a different franchise. I think the goal, and this is where there is hope. I don't think that a divorce is inevitable because of this. Both sides still have the same goal. Both sides still absolutely have the same goal. And in contract negotiations, a lot of time that's not true. The player wants as much power and as much money as possible and as much long-term security. The team wants to retain as much control and as much. So they don't have the same goal. Right now, it's not about money. It's about success. And both sides have the same goal. And I don't think Russ believes that the Seahawks have failed to provide adequate protection because they don't care about winning or because they're dismissive of it. You just might have a difference in opinion about how you go about achieving that. And I don't think that the Seahawks believe that Russell is more concerned about his stats than he is about winning. There's never been any indication. Both sides still have the same goal. Now I think there's just a little bit of a clock on it. There's more pressure on this next upcoming season than we expected 2 weeks ago.
What conversations do you have with listeners or fans or friends or family or co-hosts or colleagues, whatever, who say maybe Russell Wilson isn't as good? Because I got to tell you, like, in the conversations I've been having with friends about this, there have been a couple people that have said, well, like, what if more of this is his fault? Or what if he's a big part of the problem? Or that's kind of been the root of what they're saying, right? That if you're going to come out and criticize anyone, make sure you're untouchable. Thing is, the vast majority of people are not untouchable and are flawed. So have you been asked that kind of question yet? Like, what if Russ just isn't as good as he thinks he is?
Yeah, but I'd point at it and look at it, man. He is the guy that this thing took off, mm-hmm. not just once he got here, but once in December of his rookie year when they opened it up and let him have more control. That's when this franchise took off. And as much as we say that, hey, the defense was the best thing about it, was a historically great defense, they don't win that Super Bowl without Russell Wilson. They don't. They certainly don't get back there the next year.
I think too many people think they do. And I don't agree with that. I think too many people think that Russell Wilson in that Super Bowl was Jimmy Garoppolo with the 49ers, was Jared Goff with the Rams. Neither of those teams won a Super Bowl, but I still think too many people see him in that role.
Yeah, no. And I'll point back to the Houston game that they won in overtime. They won because they couldn't do anything on offense. Russ broke J.J. Watt's nose when J.J. Watt tackled him. That's how indestructible Russ was the difference. They don't win that Super Bowl without Russ. I don't think that's the case. And in that regard, I think that some people do discount it. I also believe that Russ is a different kind of quarterback. And for him to recite the number of sacks that he suffered as evidence that there just hasn't been enough protection. Well, no, man, you're given a lot of latitude to play the game a different way. I don't know if every coach would have embraced Russell scrambling in the way that Pete Carroll does. I know a lot of coaches say they would, but when it comes down to it, because Russ does hold on to the ball, he holds onto the ball the longest of any quarterback in the league. And I don't think that's a huge problem because they get big plays out of it, but they also take more sacks. So I think the truth is somewhere here in the middle. I've been thinking Kobe Bryant asked for a trade in 2007. And he was very public about it. I mean, he went on with Stephen A. Smith in New York and flat out said, hey, as hard as it is, I do want to be traded. It's tough to get to this point, and he didn't get traded and they both got back on this and he got some of the help. Pau Gasol ended up coming here. I don't think the Lakers went out and got Pau Gasol because they were worried Kobe Bryant was going to leave. I think it was just that the opportunity opened up. So both sides are better off together. And I think they can get to that point. If somebody thinks that, we need you less than you need us. If either side's looking at it that way, that probably would be, I hope that both still see that, hey, the hope and expectation is that we've had a really good thing going for 9 seasons. We can keep it going, but everybody's a little bit frustrated about where everything is right now.
He is Danny O'Neill. You can hear him on Danny and Gallant every single weekday morning, 7 to 10 a.m. Thanks so much, Danny.
It's great to talk to you both.
See ya. Let's get two NFL headlines. All right, ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports that Deshaun Watson is most intrigued by the Broncos and 49ers. Not so much one other team here in cut number 4.
Well, Greeny, here's the latest. I checked in with a source who said Deshaun Watson has a list of teams that he's intrigued by. You know, he's not pigeonholing anything, but he's got a list. I didn't get all the teams, but I was told the Denver Broncos, San Francisco 49ers are two of them. I also asked the source about the Jets and the Dolphins because they have the most draft capital this year and the next few years. I was told the Jets, probably not, maybe more so the Dolphins as far as viability. But Watson knows, look, he has to wait this out. He's got the no-trade clause in his contract. But it's all about the Texans continuing to tell teams, and they believe them, that they're not going to trade Deshaun Watson. I've talked to several execs who say they think GM Nick Caserio is dug in here.
Jake, have you ever seen Stand By Me?
Yes.
Sometimes the Jets remind me of Vern.
Really?
Like, everyone's just constantly making fun of this this team. And obviously, Jets fans would be, like, in the thickest New York accent possible. Like, mind your own business or whatever. Like, they're much tougher than Vern. But the dismissiveness of, not the Jets. But literally anywhere else would be cool with Deshaun Watson.
Jeremy Fowler, why did you have to throw it out there like that?
Oh,
if you're
harsh.
A Jets fan,
on,
just feel bad for you. Here you thought you had a chance. You got all this draft capital.
Leave the Jets alone.
You're one of the best teams in position to make this move. And, the Jets, not so much.
But became a Jets fan.
I would be shocked if the 49ers had enough capital to pull this off. Like, you would be mortgaging your future by a lot if you're the 49ers to get Deshaun Watson there. And, they would have to give up a couple players, like stars, a defensive star of some kind to go along with any capital that they'd be willing to trade here. So I'm kind of surprised. Like, I understand why Deshaun Watson would say, hey, if I had my wish list, I'd want to go to San Francisco, but I just don't see that happening. The Broncos, I could understand that one a little bit more. I think that in this with Deshaun Watson, this is going to be a long haul situation, and I think the Texans are going to take this all the way to training camp. I think they're going to take this thing all the way to the season. And personally, I just think that is the wrong move for the Texans because I just don't think that Deshaun Watson is going to cave in on this.
You heard the breaking news this morning. J.J. Watt is going to be released by the Texans, reportedly also asked for a release. So the two sides agreeing to part ways after the most really successful stretch for any player there. Cut number 3, here's what J.J. Watt said to fans.
I wanted to do this on video as opposed to putting out a statement or doing a press conference or anything like that because I want you guys to hear it directly from me. I want to speak directly to you and the city of Houston so you can hear the words straight from my mouth. I have sat down with the McNair family and I have asked them for my release and we have mutually agreed to part ways at this time.
Jake, we're getting plenty of questions. Danny and Paul, we're getting plenty of questions this morning of, hey, can J.J. Watt land with the Seahawks? Can Pete Carroll and John Schneider make something happen here and bring him in to help that defense? And you said earlier today during four downs that there's a player you'd rather have over J.J. Watt. Who is he?
Carlos Dunlap. You already have him. And I think that you've – look, he's got a $14 million cap hit, but I would rather sign Carlos Dunlap to an extension than bring in J.J. Watt. It's not because I don't like him or I don't think he's a good player. I would love to have J.J. Watt's leadership and presence. He is a difference maker in a locker room, and when he's on the field, he is a monster. But he has also dealt with some significant injuries. I mean, we're not just talking about injuries that have kept him out a couple weeks. We're talking about injuries that have been season enders.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start going on that track and you're 32 years old, that's a concern to me. And Carlos Dunlap's career is wildly underrated because of his time during Cincinnati. And I think that he is a good player. He obviously was a great leader, he brought great energy to the Seahawks this year and made a difference and an impact for everybody else on that defensive line. So I just feel more comfortable with Carlos Dunlap being here in Seattle over J.J. Watt and being able to extend Carlos Dunlap to me would be the smarter move here rather than bring in somebody that's got a little bit of injury history that I would be concerned about.
Last story here. Marquise and Mike Pouncey have announced their retirements from the NFL. Marquise spent his entire 11-year career struggling here with the Steelers. He was drafted 18 overall back in 2010. NFL.com covering this story, calling him, and I think we'd all agree, one of the best centers in the NFL this last decade. Pittsburgh Steelers might look like a very different team next year because they also got to decide what exactly to do with Ben Roethlisberger. Before we get to him, though, let's leave him out of the equation because we got to celebrate the NFL careers of both of these guys.
Well, it's crazy to see the Pouncey brothers have such a successful career, one at Florida and then two in the NFL, both of them in their heyday, the best interior, one of the top interior offensive linemen at center or at guard. These two guys were very, very good, crazy personalities, guys that you don't want to mess with, but had big leadership roles within their respective locker rooms. So they've had a tremendous football career, and they are at the point where they've played a long time in terms of linemen in this stage and age of their career. So as you said, the Steelers are going to have to make big decisions here because their offensive line has been regarded as one of the league's best for quite some time, and there's been a lot of turnover that's happened over the last couple years here.
All right, listeners, listen. I need some help from you guys for the last 30 minutes of our show. I'm going to ask two favors of you. Now, the second favor will come in about 15 minutes, coming up at about 40 after here. Before we get to that, here's my first favor. I need you guys to answer a question for me. So it's going to be a one-word answer. Here's my question. Between John Schneider, Pete Carroll, and Russell Wilson, you have to choose one. Whose responsibility is it to fix this situation with the Seahawks? That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
I asked you guys to answer a quick question for me. I'm actually going to need you for the next two segments. So bear with me. Thank you in advance for these two favors that you're going to help me out with. The first one is to answer a question. Whose responsibility is it to fix this situation with the Seahawks? You have three potential answers. I don't want to hear down the middle, and I know that there's not really one answer. For the purposes of this argument, let's go with one. You can pick Pete Carroll, John Schneider, Russell Wilson. 710-710, Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. I am actually surprised to see that the votes are pretty split. Now, a couple people having some fun with this one, 360. Curtis Rogers, Pete Carroll, and Russ play a game of trivia, and it will bring them together again. Which I love, with the exception that when Curtis plays trivia with people, it just demolishes your soul.
But they will they will bond together.
Did you bond
over getting trashed by Curtis Rogers?
That's what I was going to say. Did you bond with Curtis Rogers after he like boat raced you last Friday?
No, I was really mad at Curtis Rogers, but at least I could have somebody next to me
and you're
that
still
I could
best
be
friends.
Mad with. To share the pain mm-hmm. together because it's not easy. It's not easy going and stepping into the ring with Curtis because most likely you're going to get a people's elbow drop from the high top ropes.
I need to make a mental note that I need to invent a game where we can have a listener like every week call in and compete with Curtis.
Boy, do they want that business?
This is going to be bloody.
I don't know if they want that.
But what if somewhere out there there's like a savant and we aren't
I'd
giving him or her enough credit?
What if that person is on the soundboard right now, talking into this microphone.
All right,
only
all right.
Get one.
Now, the answers are pretty split. I'm going to have all three of us answer. Okay. So I'm going to go first. I think it's Pete Carroll. Now, it's up to Russell Wilson to change his style of play, stop taking sacks, and get back to realizing, like, you got to protect the team. Sorry, man, you're a leader. You're in this weird spot. You are allowed to have this opinion 1,000%. You've also got to be really careful with how you say it in when you are at in a position that it's so easy to alienate yourself from the rest of the team with. It is very easy for a quarterback to alienate himself in the NFL, especially as he makes more money.
Mm-hmm.
Is it fair? Absolutely not. But you can make a case for John Schneider being with talent acquisition, but I actually think that it's Pete Carroll because it's Pete Carroll's strength.
Okay. All right.
He is going to be good at this.
Okay. All right. Curtis, what do you think?
I got to say Pete as well, because everything in the organization runs through him. John Schneider has to report to Pete. So anything that Schneider does, Pete has to sign off on it. And if the offense is going to get to where Russell Wilson wants it to go, if you know he's going to get that protection he desires that he has made well known over the course of the last few days, it's got to be through Pete. And I think the hire of Shane Waldron does give me a little bit of hope that he is listening to other people besides Brennan and Nate Carroll. And with Brennan gone to Arizona, it's now just Nate Carroll that bear down. Still not quite sold on that.
That's okay.
That move. But I think it does ultimately go through Pete here.
And I think our show is in agreement. Now, the reason why I say Pete Carroll, and there's nuance to this, right? There's nuance to every part of this conversation because all three of them hold a tremendous role in this process. But the person that can fix this is Pete Carroll. And he has done it in the past before with other players. But also, I think that this is a relationship between Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson that has to get fixed where those two guys ultimately want the same thing, but their vision has to become aligned. And they have to get on the same page in this regard. And the reality is that Russell Wilson threw his shot, right? He took his shot. He sent it out there. He put it out there. You're not all of a sudden going to hear Russell Wilson publicly go and backtrack his comments. You're not going to see that,
mm-hmm.
right? He put it out there. And now it's what's next. How is the organization going to react? And what is John Schneider and Pete Carroll going to do about it? So that's why I believe this is on Pete Carroll. But as you look at what Pete Carroll has done in the past, I think that he has done a great job of tempering the waters down. But this is going to have to be more than that. This is going to have to be a sit-down conversation for Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, and yes, John Schneider being a part of that conversation to really figure this out, hammer it out, resolve the issues that are there between both sides and get this resolved. And Pete's the one that can step up to the plate and get this done.
All right. Let me hit up the text line because I want you to respond after a couple of these, all right? From the 425, Pete Carroll, because he has the final say in everything. A couple of guys saying Russ in here. From the 832, where's 832? Where are you, 832? It's on the coach, since he's the one in charge of personnel. He can either get it fixed or hand the reins back to John. 206, someone who, in general, manages the team, so he goes with John Schneider. From the 253, probably John, because he's in charge of player acquisition and helps to manage the cap. 360, it's John and Pete, but I'd say John has more to do with it because he's going to be around for longer and is hands-on with acquiring players. Someone else saying, I think it's on Russ. He opened Pandora's box and now has to deal with the consequences.
Interesting. Here's where I think each person has a role in this, right? I think Pete Carroll is the ultimate guy right now that can fix this situation, and making the first move to opening that conversation up, sitting down, having an open discussion, and really talking things through. That's where I think Pete Carroll can diffuse the situation and get everybody on board. I think with John Schneider, it is figuring out a way where, from a player acquisition standpoint and a cap standpoint, where they can figure out how to get on the same page in terms of what they realistically can do and communicating that plan and vision. Now, I think that ultimately is the communication aspect of it that can really help. And then finally, with Russell Wilson, taking all that information with Pete Carroll, John Schneider, and what they're telling you, and sitting there and airing your grievances, getting them out there, but then eventually through that conversation going, okay, I not only do I like what I'm hearing, but more importantly, I buy into what I'm hearing. Mm. Because Russell Wilson has to re-buy into this process, right? That's the ultimate position right now, is that there's a lack of trust from Russell Wilson to management. That's why this gets out there, right? That's where we start with this ultimately. And so it's going to be on Russell Wilson, no matter what Pete Carroll and John Schneider say, they have a role to play in it, but it's going to be on Russell Wilson as well to sit there and trust what they're saying and to buy into what they're saying so that he doesn't go through this process waiting for every little thing to happen and stewing on every little thing and mistake that happens and saying, yeah, that's the final straw, I want out, right? Because you don't want for Pete Carroll and John Schneider to make all these moves just to have the Aaron Rodgers effect when something goes bad in the NFC Championship game and you have Aaron Rodgers sitting there saying, man, I don't know what my future is going to be.
I mean, think of it like a relationship, right? When you're in a relationship and commit to it, you're like, all right, I'm in. If you forget to put the dishes away, I'm not going to decide that was the final straw. When you're questioning it, every little thing makes you mad. Every little thing.
Correct.
There he goes again, putting his feet up on the table.
Exactly right. And Russ has to get Russell has to get himself back to what he's always been, which is been a guy that has trusted the process, who's worked his tail off, who has been a great communicator of the message and the buy-in factor of what Pete Carroll and John Schneider have done from an organizational standpoint. You need him to get back in that headspace again, and that will be determined on him. Now, it'll be determined on Pete Carroll and John Schneider to communicate their vision and how they get it done. That's why all three. You can make an argument for all three of them. But as of today, the person that can make this happen is Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. Russell shot his shot. He put it out there. And now it's going to be up to Pete Carroll and John Schneider how they want to respond. That's the next corresponding move in this process.
A very important takeaway, Jake. My second most important takeaway is I just realized how much I really do hate it when people put feet on furniture.
Tables. Or on the dashboard of your car.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started on that.
I got started.
Okay, so I asked you guys for two favors. Thank you so much for doing the first one. The first one was to answer my question. And you guys did an amazing job. I didn't get to everyone's answers, but you guys participated. It was beautiful. This made this really fun. Here's my second favor. I need you to ask me a question. More specifically, us. Right? Because what I need to know is coming up next. Here's how it works. You text in any question you want, any single question, to the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line 710-710. That's around the corner. It's what I need to know. Send your questions in 710-710 right now. Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. I'll get started here.
Hold on. I got to tell a story about Brooke that she's probably not going to be happy I shared, but
This
morning,
perfect.
This morning it snowed. It snowed pretty good in University Place, and I'd say maybe about maybe an inch or two, just a nice little dusting.
Okay,
and so it wasn't really enough where our driveway was in bad shape. Get the cars in and out, not really a problem. So I didn't really think about it. And Brooke texted me before we got on the show, and she was like, "I just shoveled the entire driveway, and my hands are just." They're hurting. They're freezing. I'm like, why didn't you wait for me? I could have done that for you. And also, I don't think it was necessary, but I could have done that. And she was like, well, I didn't want the driveway to ice over. Okay. So, all right. Have that in your mind. And then as the day goes on, she texts me later and goes, I'm so mad. I wasted all this time shoveling our driveway and it just melted on every. Ew. So all of our neighbors, they didn't do anything. It just melted. And so here she spent all this time shoveling the driveway,
Brooke,
just for it to melt off naturally. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Brooke.
Sorry.
A couple people have lifestyle questions. So this person says, here's what I need to know. When you go to a get-together and you bring beverages, do you bring the leftovers home? Say I bring a 24-pack of whatever, or I bring, if you bring soda or whatever you bring, do you get to take the rest home? Like, what if it's expensive? What if it's a 24 Boy. Case and people have two?
I feel like if it's a bring your own booze or bring your own soda party and there's a lot left over, I don't think the person wants to be saddled with all of that left over, but then it kind of makes you look cheap.
I have never brought anything back that I brought. I've always felt like that's really taboo, but I wouldn't judge anyone for doing it.
Yeah, I wouldn't judge anybody for doing it either.
I know I just said it's taboo, but...
I don't really have this problem because if I'm bringing over anything, it's gonna be a pack of Diet Cokes or
yeah, but
or
are you
Sprite
gonna take them
beer.
Back with you? Say you bring a 24 pack of Diet Coke, and people have one. Are you gonna be
and
like
there's like 20?
Are you gonna
box.
Be looking at say it's kind of by the door?
Yes, I'd be bringing it home every single time. One, I'm cheap, and two, I brought the drink over because I like it. So, no, I'm not leaving it over there just to be nice. I brought it. So, yes, I'm taking it home for sure.
Someone said, by the way, because I said that we should have maybe a listener segment where we have someone call in and go head-to-head with Curtis at trivia, see if he can beat him, because Curtis is truly unstoppable. It's a sickness that I'm not really worried about. Someone said, bring it. I would love to get destroyed by the Kentalist. I can take it.
I don't know if you want this.
I don't know if you do, man. I don't know if you do. Someone said, what I need to know, will Stacey stop being so annoying? No. It doesn't stop. Ask Jake or Curtis. Okay, what I need to know. How about this one? This person says that their last relationship, they were engaged. They were seeing this girl, engaged to this girl for 12 years. They are now broken up, but want to know that if they get back out there and start dating again... Should they not tell a girl that they're seeing that they were in a relationship for 12 years for fear of scaring them off? Like if someone says, how long was your last relationship? And you say 12 years and I was engaged. This person's thinking of like, what if I just don't tell them that? Because it will weird them out if I'm just meeting them.
I mean, if she asks the question, you have to be honest,
yeah,
right?
I don't see there... is much to lose in being honest with that.
As long as you don't just drone. Here's where the problem becomes. All right, I'm in a 12-year relationship.
Right.
Or I got over a 12-year relationship. It was hard for me. And then you go on and on and on
yeah.
and on
yeah,
about
don't...
your ex.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you end up talking about her so much that clearly you're not over this relationship and they can sense it from a mile away. Just say, hey. It was a 12-year relationship. Say your quick piece about it and move on like it's no big deal. That might still bother you, right? You might still be hung up on that person. But you can't let your date know that. You gotta move on. Like, hey, that was a big part of my life. I'm ready to move forward.
And you could have a little baby white lie. Because the problem you risk is what if you start seeing this girl and you start getting... Pretty soon you're a couple months into dating and you're like, oh, man, I need to tell her... that I was engaged and seeing this girl for 12 years. That's awkward to bring up. So maybe you just bring up in that, like, yeah, we decided to end things. It was mutual. That way she doesn't think, like, this girl dumped you and you're still thinking about her.
Yeah, don't ever, like, if she does something that reminds you of your ex, don't be like,
don't do that.
My ex used to do that.
Yeah, okay. from the 253, what I need to know, what are Curtis's athletic accomplishments? We know Jake loved the final against O'Day. Stacey loved her brown ribbon. Thank you so much. What did Curtis actually accomplish?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I like the way that it was phrased, too.
253, I'm going to take you back to Lake Youngs Elementary in sixth grade. Your boy was feeling it that day in PE. So they had this competition called the Hot Shot basketball shooting competition. You had different point totals on the floor. And
how old were you?
I was like sixth grade, so maybe 11
okay.
years old.
Got it. 20 years ago.
The boys set the Lake Youngs Elementary record for most points in a minute with 57.
What?
I am not even kidding.
We are in the presence of greatness.
I'm not even kidding.
Curtis, I'm not kidding when I say this. I'm not trying to gas you up. I would see that and be like, yo, this kid might actually be a prodigy.
Yeah. I was Steph Curry before Steph Curry.
How have you not said anything before? How have you kept this in?
I'm humble about it. Guys.
Way to make me feel like none of my life accomplishments matter.
I would be bragging about that all day, every day.
Literally, the first thing I would tell people, I brag about my 10th place ribbon, Curtis. What are you doing? You've been sitting on this?
Yeah, you know, sixth grade me, he's in the past. 29-year-old me now, he's got a family to raise up. You know, my priorities have changed.
The question is, could you beat your sixth grade self?
What changed?
Oh, man. The range got a little closer and closer to the hoop. There was a 5-point total on the floor, which was like a NBA 3-pointer.
Okay, so it wasn't really
ridiculously hot for that spot on the floor to the point where my PE teacher was just like, I don't believe what's happening.
I know what happened. It was the bone spurs in the foot. That injury set you back big time.
If it wasn't for the bone spurs and
Curtis's recent surgery that he just graduated from physical therapy, by the way. Congratulations, C-Raj.
Full strength.
He would take down his sixth grade self.
Yeah, that's when the PE teacher gets some people on the line. Like, I got something for you here.
You're not going to believe.
Get some scouts out here. You will not believe this. All right, that'll do it for us today. He's Jake Heaps. I'm Stacey Ross. Curtis Rogers on the board.
Be safe out there, everybody.
Everyone have a wonderful weekend, but do not start it yet. You want to stay here for plenty of sports talk because it's not ending. Wyman and Bob are coming up next on 710 ESPN Seattle.